Hey, everybody. This is Devil Vamp just coming at you. Just wanted a quick note. I really wanted to thank Chevy and Rocky Mountain High for joining me this week. I greatly appreciate it. My brother's coming in for me from the AWWIR podcast. I really appreciate you guys. You guys are more than welcome back. You guys had a lot of great input, and once again, I thank you.
Now get the guns, the drugs from my generation. I'll take the fall, the saints across the nation, and it's a sin. The guns, the freaks, the fraud, they're messing with me. Come on, let's get it out.
You're way too smart to be a WWE writer.
I'm like Chevy, coherent. Chevy, please help me with this, man. Guys, welcome to the DSJNP.com podcast. This is the WrestleCast, episode 9. This week, it got a little bit different. Remember, I've been talking about AWWIR for about, 9 episodes now, because ever since I started listening to podcasts, I've been listening to them. I contribute every week, or at least I try to, as long as my equipment's working. But I got two special guests. My brother and his buddy couldn't join me this week, so I got Chevy from the AWWIR, and I got Rocky Mountain High. So we're going to go through a bunch of things. Chevy requested some segments, so we got 5 segments for Chevy. He likes to put a review in. I respond to reviews, so please respond. DSJNP on Twitter, and let us know how we're doing. So we got, how you guys doing tonight? You guys doing all right?
I'll be doing great.
So I was going to say, I'll be doing great as long as the kids don't get nightmares and stuff.
They get nightmares?
They're 4 and a half. They get everything during the night.
That's a good point. Rocky, how you doing, man?
I am well. I am doing just fine tonight, and the AWWIR just dropped just as we started, so that was good timing.
Yeah, it was great. Great timing. Normally, I'm done recording by the time Dan posts his stuff for the night, so I'll be able to listen to that to probably tomorrow night. No, Thursday morning most likely, because I'll be doing a truck at work. So evidently it's a really long one. Chevy, you said it's about 4.5 hours this week?
It's got to be 4.5 or 5 hours.
Oh my good grief, I thought 3 hours was long, man. Holy moly. All right, well, in ours tonight, we got the first segment. We're doing we're gonna do two up, two bad, or two good, two bad about Raw for this week. Segment two is who's next for Daniel Bryan. Who should it be? Who do you want it to be? Segment three is going to be about Bray Wyatt. Why is he such a great character? Is he a real character? Is it more of a Stone Cold thing? Like it's like an offset of his person. Can he back up what he says? What about Bo Dallas? Because we all know Bo Dallas is his brother. His father is IRS, in case nobody knows that. And the return of the old gimmicks. It was a call I did into another podcast that we listened to. Segment four, going full circle. Evolution has gone full circle. They're back together again. Kane has gone full circle, from Kane to joking Kane to this Kane to that Kane to no helmet Kane to no mask Kane to Kane to mask Kane to big mask. Kane's done a lot. To business Kane, back to Kane again. And then the Shield has gone full circle, from coming out and being disruptive to going to with the McMahons to, and now turning against the McMahons and going full on, we're going to protect everyone and we're actually going to be the Shield and fight for injustice, which I thought they should have done at the beginning. But anyway, and then segment five is going to be anything you guys want to talk about. All right, so we'll start with Chevy, since he may have to step away for kids if he has to. But give me too good or too bad about Raw this week, man.
First thing that's good is obviously the Warrior tribute that started off the show was fantastic, and all other stuff, like they had the shirts and the Usos had his face paint divided in half. The other good is I think Evolution getting back together is going to help a lot of the up and coming faces, even if they don't win, just get good rubs. For too bad, and it was just the nature of the show last night, which was between the Intercontinental Tournament and all the Warrior stuff, they just weren't able to run their time very well, and a lot of important storylines got no time on the show.
Yeah, I noticed that. Not a lot of story. They didn't do a lot of storyline movement. I don't know if that's because Daniel Bryan wasn't there. I don't know why they didn't do that. Even with the tournament, they could add storylines in there. You know, something. Yeah.
Well, no AJ Lee, Paige talk. Just a quick match for Paige.
Yeah, that was a good match too, though.
Yeah,
I really enjoyed that match. What about Too Bad? I mean, Rocky. What about your Too Good, Too Bad, man? Rocky.
Sorry about that.
It's okay.
Helps if I unmute the mic. yeah, I didn't see Raw last night, so I'm even more useless than usual on this topic.
Hey, what are you gonna do, man?
just guess.
Yeah, just guess. Just guess what happened.
The last match was amazing.
It was, yeah, it was great.
It wasn't a match at all.
No, it was just a beatdown, just a vicious beatdown. They were going after those guys too, man. They were going after the Shield. So I would say Too Good for me. The IC tournament, other than the storylines, like Chevy said, other than the storylines, I really enjoyed seeing a tournament again. We haven't seen a tournament in so long. Other than the NXT women's title, we haven't seen a tournament in forever. And I really enjoy seeing those brackets and guessing who's going to win and all night talking to you guys on GroupMe or talking to the Twitterverse out there and saying, you know, I want this person to win. I know Chevy and I usually go at it going, you know, you thought Swagger and Cesaro was going to end up in the finals, right?
No, I thought I didn't think that was possible because I don't think either one of them will be challenging for the Intercontinental title.
What do you think now?
I still think because I think Cesaro and Swagger are going to have a match at Extreme Rules, especially because I think Extreme Rules is only going to be like a 6-match card, and it'll give those two workhorses a lot of time to go at it in the ring.
That would be so good.
I think the IC title is going to be, at least I'm hoping, it's going to be the vehicle they use to turn Sheamus heel.
Really? You think that's the time where it's going to be Sheamus is going to beat down Big E?
Yeah. I think he may even be heel before the match. Like, I could see him going to the finals against Cesaro and cheating against Cesaro to keep Cesaro's momentum going, but not have him strapped with the IC belt.
You don't think Swagger is going to do the old run-in again like he normally does?
I don't
know.
I'm between those two in my mind.
Yeah. Well, I like the tournaments. I always enjoyed it. It makes the title shine a little bit more, you know? It brings it up. We haven't seen the IC title in a while. We haven't seen Big E in a while, actually. So it really, it brings importance back to those titles, and I want to see that again. I miss those titles. They mean something, especially the Intercontinental title. I mean, Bret Hart held it. Stone Cold held it. HBK held it. Pat Patterson held it. I don't really want to say the Honky Tonk Man, but I'll say the Honky Tonk Man held it. But, I mean, it's good stuff. So, I don't know why they take such crap on the IC titles now. But my other good one is I actually really enjoyed that Divas match this week. I really did enjoy that. It was a really quick match, but I did enjoy it. Alicia Fox really shined on that one. Paige got her beat down. It's supposed to show that Paige really is inexperienced, which she's not. But it's supposed to show that... Alicia really shined on that one, and it showed on Twitter. A lot of people responded to what she did, and she was trending for a while on Twitter, which is a big deal for a diva. Not many divas trend that often, and Alicia really did a good job. I have to get my hats off to her. I mean, she can actually wrestle compared to the rest of them. And then my Too Bad, obviously the last match of the night, Shield come out, 11 guys come out, beat down the Shield. The only thing I liked about it was that it looked like the Shield agreed to, like, get potatoed because they got beat. They literally got beat. I mean, they were getting beat. And then Evolution comes out, announced by Evolution Music. So everyone knows it's just flat out. It's not, oh, they're going to form Evolution. They're going to form Evolution. No, they're forming Evolution. Evolution is done. It's been trending all day. So believe in Evolution is what's been trending all day. So they're done. I mean, I don't know. Chevy likes it. I'm not convinced. I didn't watch it. I didn't watch wrestling when Evolution was around. The little that I did, I was never impressed with them. I like Randy Orton. That was it. Never liked Batista ever. Bootista. Bootista. And then the last one was the commentating. The commentating this week was horrendous. It was so bad. They talked so much crap during that Women's Diva match. They just... And then every time they would call something, all of a sudden something would happen. Like when they said, "Is you know, is anyone the Injustice?" And then all of a sudden the shield would appear. You know, it's too much foreshadowing. It's too much going, "Hey, is everyone thirsty? Oh, wait, here's this guy with water." You know, I can't deal with it anymore. What do you guys think about the commentary lately? Rocky, what do you think?
Well, that's always been a sore spot for me. I find there's so many things that WWE does really, really well. And there's two that it does terribly. One is the storylines, and the other is the commentating. And the commentating, they're just trying to do so much stuff other than call the match that it drives me crazy. I remember about 3 months ago, I watched an episode of Main Event, and there was an absolutely epic 20-minute match on. I don't even remember who it was, but it was just stellar. And they didn't mention the match for 16 of the 20 minutes.
What?
It was incredible. They were just talking bullshit and smacking on each other, and it was awful. I'll tell you, I think there's a great business model to be had if JR were to go into business doing an independent commentary stream. I would pay money for that for sure.
That's a great idea. I think I would too. Honestly, to hear JR call it again, I totally would. Chevy, what do you think about the commentary lately, man?
I mean, yeah, it's bad, but except for stuff that WWE's done, I don't know if there's any other company that's ever really had good commentating. WWE's had by far the two best teams when they had Bobby Heenan and Gorilla Monsoon, and then when they had JR and Jerry the King Lawler.
Oh, I miss them so much.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, they've got some excellent talent, but I feel they're just so saddling them with all this other crap, you know, advertise the other shows, advertise Tout, advertise Twitter, advertise the toys, you know, the apps. I mean, just all this bullshit. For God's sake, don't talk about the match.
I know. And don't call a move. Why would you call a move?
Yeah, no kidding.
Oh, so bad lately. Just so bad.
I think the quick fix is to get rid of Jerry Lawler.
You think so? I mean, really?
Everyone says that, so it's not original. But and then to replace JBL with William Regal.
Well, I don't know. I like Lawler. I like his role, even, of just to throw little jokes in here and there. If you're not going to call the match, you might as well have something lighthearted. I don't know. I can't stand Cole, but I can't decide if it's because I can't stand Cole or just because of the words he's being told to talk about.
I cannot stand Cole because he doesn't call moves. That's why I can't stand Cole. And I know I've heard him interviewed before, and I know he wants to be different, and I get it. But call something. I mean, something. I mean, an arm bar, a hip toss, something. Yeah. Oh. Jesus.
That JBL is supposed to be calling all the moves.
He's not. He didn't call. He doesn't call anything either. He's the funny one. That's the funny part. He's the funny one.
He's another color commentator. They really don't have a play-by-play guy. You know, that was JR's role.
Yeah. Exactly. And the that reminds me of what JBL said this week. He said, what was it? Was it Brock? No, it wasn't Brock. It was Big E. No. Oh, it was Sheamus. Sheamus took all those punches. Yeah, he took them to the face.
Leading with his chin. Yes.
Yeah. I love his one-liners, man. They're so great. I like him.
No, the color roles are great. I guess really, now that I think about it, the play-by-play guy is supposed to be Cole, but he's so busy shilling other stuff that there is no play-by-play guy.
It's not even that, too. He wants to talk about other stuff. He doesn't want to talk about the match in front of him, and that's what bugs the shit out of me. And then he says stupid stuff like, Cena's really mad now, and instead of going, Cena's, you know, irritated, and he's going to run and probably do a jump or something or another. I'm a horrible commentary, too, but I know what good commentary is.
Yes. Well, I really like Jerry's one-liners. He had a really good one at WrestleMania, and I forget who he was even talking to, but he said, "If you had a soul, she'd be your mate." He's just full of those little zingers. He must write them down ahead of time, obviously.
So good. All right, moving on. So let's move on to segment two. Who is the next opponent for Daniel Bryan? Everyone thinks it's going to be Randy. I don't think it's going to be Randy. I know Randy's due for his rematch clause. I don't think it's going to be Randy. There's nothing leading towards Randy being a rematch clause. There's nothing leading towards Bautista being a rematch. I think when Daniel Bryan gets back next week, it's going to be just one big beatdown. But I think he's supposed to be on Thursday, right? He's supposed to be on SmackDown.
I doubt it. SmackDown's taped on Tuesday.
Yeah, SmackDown is taped on Tuesday. I forgot about that.
You'd think they'd give the guy a week for a honeymoon. Yeah. You'd hope so, anyway.
Okay, so he'll be back on Monday.
They should have found a way to get to postpone his honeymoon.
Why? This is the perfect time. Don't champions normally take off this week?
He makes some kind of appearance. I mean, the only time a champ doesn't show up is if they're trying to sell a beatdown.
I thought champs normally take off the second week in the new year for them. I thought this was their time off. Because Punk took off this time of year last year too, but he wasn't champ. I'm trying to think.
WWE makes their champs workhorses.
Yeah, they do.
I mean, you do every house show. The only exception was The Rock.
Yeah, but The Rock this time he ran with the belt, not any other time, right? Yeah.
Yeah, I guess I've never been that observant. I don't know when they're on and off.
Hey, what who should be the next contender? Chevy.
Who should be the next contender?
Yeah, who do you think should be?
Brock Lesnar.
Cesaro? Okay, Rocky says Cesaro, and Chevy says Brock Lesnar. All right, Rocky, why do you think it should be Cesaro?
Well, the guy's just on such a roll, and he's got the most potential of any mid-carder that I can see. So if anybody needs that rub and legitimately could hold that title going forward, I think at this point that's who it looks like to me.
I don't know about Cesaro. I don't think he's ready yet. I really don't think he's ready yet.
Putting him against Daniel Bryan's a real quick way to turn Cesaro heel.
That's a really good point. I never thought about that.
Well, and he's in a funny spot, right? Because he's managed by Heyman. He's real face now. It'll be interesting to see if he's able to turn heel and how they do it and if the audience buys it.
Yeah, which is what I was thinking the other day. For you guys, I know somebody mentioned something about, you know, Heyman's a heel and Cesaro's a face. How is this going to work? This doesn't work to me. This doesn't make sense. But to me, it doesn't matter. To me, it really doesn't matter because, I mean, it's Cesaro. Cesaro right now is transcending everybody. I mean, he's a face because he earned it, not because of any other reason, just because he earned it flat out.
Yeah, the one thing they've not done with him is had him on the mic, and who knows how that's going to work out. We all had big hopes for Big E, and then he got on the mic and just tanked.
He was really bad the other night talking to Renee, too.
Yeah,
I actually called about that on the AWWIR.
About Big E talking on the mic?
About a manager he should have.
Oh, yeah. What?
He needs a mouthpiece.
Do you want to spoil it? What manager?
Booker T.
You think Booker T? Oh, that's a good idea.
I don't know if Booker T would agree to a manager role, but I think he would be the perfect manager if they could get him to say yes.
That's a really good idea.
Yeah, I agree. He needs a manager for sure. And there's another guy, you know, who so far has been faced, but who knows? Maybe people would buy it if he went heel.
Wow. Chevy, that's a really good idea, man. I never even thought about that before. Oh, I got to think about that for a minute. All right, so Rocky, you think it should be Cesaro. Chevy, you think it should be who do you think it should be?
I said Brock Lesnar purely because that's the most logical progression. For the last 4 months, Brock Lesnar has been running around screaming, "I want to face a champion, I want to face a champion, I want to face a champion." Beats the shit out of Big Show, and then he breaks the streak, and then he's supposed to just leave.
You of all people know his contract. He doesn't like traveling. That's why he quit to begin with.
Yeah.
So how is that going to work?
But he worked the last two Extreme Rules.
Oh yeah, you're right. He did, because the last one he was Triple H, right?
He did Triple H and John Cena.
Yeah.
But he's not being advertised for Extreme Rules.
No, he's off. Paul Heyman was on the Stone. By the way, if you guys haven't listened to that Stone Cold that Steve Austin show with Paul Heyman interview, it is fantastic.
It is. I listened to that this morning. It is tremendous.
Oh, it's so good. Heyman does such a good job. And then Stone Cold said he recorded another one with him because Heyman just sat there and talked to him. So he just turned the mic back on and just let him talk again. I mean, it's really good.
And one of the many gems out of that was Heyman's comments on Punk. I mean, he really just essentially said, "Punk's done. You know, don't look for him to come back."
You know,
I don't know if he said he was
been watching,
done.
I was going to say, I've been watching Paul Heyman, Heyman's first run with Brock Lesnar on the network. He's actually way better than he used to be.
Who, Heyman?
Yeah, he was he was good, but he wasn't spectacular when he was running with Brock in 2002.
No, they talked they did talk about that. Rock, you back me up on that. They did talk about that because it's he said how he feels good. He feels rested. He doesn't feel overworked like he did last time. Last time he was part of the creative team. He was also doing the managing stuff. He was fighting backstage for everything and every ounce of anything that he projected. So he said that he was really beat up last time he left the company, and he left under very bad circumstances. And he came back because he thought he could contribute, but he didn't want to be any part of that creative team anymore because it was just too much for him. He just didn't. What did he say, Rocky? He said he just didn't want to. He didn't want that stress anymore.
Yeah, he doesn't want to fight all those battles now. And now, whereas he used to fight for kind of every word in a promo, now he's happy to sit back in his little corner, do his little role, and you know, and not feel like he's got to try to get the rest of the company on track. He sounds like he's in a really good place mentally. Like he's got this very modest schedule, not a lot of travel, not a lot of hours. He's in a really good spot right now.
Yeah, but now he's with Cesaro, so now his travel's gone up a little bit more. But sure they pay him more now.
I mean, to build a guy like Cesaro, who's really almost never been on the mic and who's really a fresh commodity in a way, that's going to take a lot of effort, I think.
All right.
WWE doesn't usually make their managers work house shows.
Really?
I think Zeb is. When Heyman was running with Punk, he only made a couple appearances with the Urn, and that was it.
Because he said something about house shows.
Yeah, he said he doesn't go to them. Yeah. Or at least he hasn't. But there was going to be a stretch where he does have to for a little while, but it's pretty limited.
Yeah, but I think he said he couldn't mention that right then because he was going to be doing Cesaro. I mean, because the podcast was recorded right before WrestleMania 30. Yeah.
Right.
So you have to go back in time a little bit.
If they show the house shows from Europe, like the rumor is, then I imagine he will be there.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the house shows in Europe are a little bit different because everyone's there. So why not show up and get paid, right? I mean, right? Or wouldn't you get paid for the whole time you're there? Because you have to go. So now you're stuck there.
Yeah, you would think so. I mean, plus, I don't know how they do it if they all make the air eventually or whatever, but you know, that's a whole separate situation.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
In fact, there's on the network, they've got their schedule of upcoming events, and they're doing 3 days in a row in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia.
I saw that. Is that for the troops?
Well, I gotta believe that they're going to do the troops right before or right after. I can't imagine you'd go to Saudi Arabia without coupling that to it.
Yeah, exactly. And McMahon's such a patriot. Yeah, he wouldn't go there without. Yeah. All right, so moving on, Bray Wyatt. Okay, I've never asked you guys this. Rocky, why do you like Bray Wyatt? Do you like Bray Wyatt?
Well, I didn't used to. I've come to appreciate him since WrestleMania. Reason I didn't used to is I never really bought into his promos. I never saw the scary aspect. And physically, he just doesn't look intimidating to me. But I don't know, something about his performance at WrestleMania, I sort of bought into both. He showed some wrestling skills, and of course, with a Charles Manson type of character, the real threat is that he can control some really bad guys, and his guys are becoming more credible in my eyes as well. So, I've flipped around. I've gotten behind him now.
Wow. Chevy, what do you think?
I like him. His work comes and goes. He started off the year with two of the best matches at Royal Rumble and the Chamber, but a lot of his work last year wasn't that spectacular. But as far as his character goes, I mean, I really like it, but this seems like it is something that will get old, and like he won't be Bray Wyatt for 10 years.
Really? You don't think so?
I don't know. Cult leaders never, or cult type characters almost always fan out immediately.
Yeah, Punk and wrote it for a year or so, which was about 9 months too long.
Yeah, but he came in as Punk first, and then he became a cult leader. So there's a difference,
right?
It'll
be interesting
him
to see what happens with Bray when the cult thing's over. But I really liked what he was doing in his match with Cena, where he was sort of offering himself up for sacrifice just to flip Cena's dark side out.
Yeah, so did I. I think it's interesting how to pull something out of Cena. Now, Cena typical Hulk Hogan fashion, way overplayed it. I mean, hugely overacted that thing. It's like his, you know, it's like his acting in the Marine. So my thing is, my call this week was about Bray Wyatt to the W-A-W-W-I-R. Was about the Bray Wyatt and why he's such a great character. And I mean, other than that, he's one of the best on the mic I've ever heard, I think, in my life. Just fantastic. I just, every time he talks, I'm just like, yes, whatever you say, I believe you. Okay, I will do that. You know, whatever he says, I don't care. My thing is he real? Does he pull that out of himself? Because they always say the best guys, the best characters are a part of you. It's just you just turned up 10 to 10 instead of 9. So Stone Cold, The Rock, Hulk Hogan, John Cena, they all say they use part of themselves and they just turn up those parts really high to become those characters. Is Bray that character or is he just a really good actor? Chevy, we'll go to you.
I lean towards he's a really good actor, but I don't know anything about his personal life, so it's really hard for me to make that call. Okay. Just all right. Personally.
All right, Rocky?
Yeah, I don't know anything about the real guy either, but I was listening to some podcasts the other day and they were saying how he invented this character himself. He didn't wait on creative to do it. He just came up with the whole thing. So if that's true, the guy's got talent in defining a character and keeping it going for a while. I can't imagine having to think up all that crap week after week.
Yeah, no shit. Goodness. And then he's got to run it by creative every single week? Or you think by now they just let him go?
Oh, I don't think Vince will let anybody go unless your name is Undertaker or Steve Austin. I think everybody else has got to get clearance from the boss.
Yeah, I'd say Undertaker, Steve Austin, The Rock, Triple H, HBK. I think probably they are allowed to go, but other than that, I don't think anybody else is. So the other thing is that Chevy, you brought up you don't know him outside, but you do know his dad, and you do know his brother, and his brother is Bo Dallas. And everyone has been seeing him on the little previews coming, Bo Leave. And yeah, and for those of us who watch NXT, we already saw Bo Leave. We've already saw Bo Dallas do what he does. He just lost NXT title, rightfully so, in my opinion. And then his father is IRS, Irwin R. Scheister. So we do know those, so based on that, and we do know who he used to be. And Chevy, tell us who he used to be.
Who?
Bray.
I'm sorry.
Bray.
Bray. Oh, Husky Harris.
Yeah. Okay.
Green Bay chants at him.
Green Bay chanted at him
because Green Bay sucks.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
So Husky Harris sucks.
Husky Harris was interesting. I was actually a fan whenever they let him go loose. Just because he would really show off that Ferrari engine with the tank body or whatever.
Okay.
My favorite was, they only did it a couple times, but like he would just run like absolute full speed and then just jump into a crowd of people recklessly.
What? I have to watch that. That's on YouTube, right?
Yeah, I'll try to find the clips for you. He did it a couple times and like it literally just looked like he just cared about hurting people.
If you can find it, send it to me. I'll put it on my website.
So I'm watching. Hey, pause. I'm watching Main Event replay on Silent. Apparently, Hornswoggle joined 3MB.
What?
Well, that probably upped the quality tenfold.
I agree. I agree. Rocky Mountain High. I totally agree. Hornswoggle joined 3MB. I didn't even know. First of all, the last time I saw 3MB was when they were getting their ass kicked. That's only three guys that got their ass kicked this Monday night by the Shield, okay? And of those 11 guys, those three got their ass beat by the Shield.
And you know, Hornswoggle joining 3MB raises the average IQ both of 3MB and of the rest of the roster at the same time.
I agree.
I want to know if he's replaced. They're only showing two of them. I can't figure out which two they are because I've kind of forgotten what they all look like.
Is the redhead there?
Yeah, he's gone. I don't see him.
So he's gone.
So I'm trying to figure. Well, I hope Hornswoggle doesn't replace him, and then they have to come out and be like, we're a 3.5 man band.
3.5 man band. I can't even do that stupid Texas accent he does. Ugh.
It would be
I would actually appreciate Hornswoggle if he left the band in a month and started going around saying, I'm the half-man band, baby.
Okay, all right. I'm done talking. I'm totally done talking about 3MB. We just spent way too much time talking about 3MB.
Bet you didn't expect to talk that tonight.
No, that's going down in my history books right there. All right, so going back to Bray Wyatt, is this a return to possibly the old gimmicks? And I mean by the old gimmicks, by my call mainly referred to like Million Dollar Man had to go out and spend $100 bills at all times to anywhere he went. He wasn't allowed to use anything but a $100 bill. Because
yeah, see, that's the gimmick I want.
Yeah, exactly. Well, he had to bring back all the change to McMahon because he wasn't allowed to, you know, and he had to get more money from McMahon every time I wanted to go out. But, and honestly, that's kayfabe. I don't know if that's real or not. That may be a rib. I don't know. But this is my thing. He wasn't at the Hall. They weren't at the Hall of Fame. The Wyatts weren't. And the Wyatts were not on the stage when they were given a tribute to the Ultimate Warrior. So if they're going that far with them, how far will they go with more gimmicks? This is essentially a return to the old ways. So that's what I mean by returning to the old gimmicks. What do you think, Rocky Mountain High? What do you think?
I don't know. I never thought about it. I'll have to sit with that. It's kind of intriguing. It seems to me that there is so much history, so many good gimmicks in the past. Including IRS. I always liked him. I liked the fact that he was in the ring with his hard leather shoes that would just kick the crap out of somebody. I remember one time Bobby Heenan and Gorilla Monsoon were calling one of his matches, and Gorilla kept saying, gosh, how's this guy going to beat him? How's the scrub going to beat him? And Heenan would say, he's wearing a tie. Anyway, now, IRS was a great character. There are so many gimmicks, so many storylines from the past you can pick up to your earlier point about kind of the youth of the modern wrestling audience. Yeah. I think if you went back to stuff from the 80s, 95% of the present audience would have no idea and it would all seem fresh.
Yeah, that's what I mean about, you know, I mean, that's our next segment. But I mean, everything's trying to kind of come in full circle. And Chevy, do you think that the old gimmicks are coming back? I mean, this guy is really dedicated to his gimmick. He's not showing up for the Ultimate Warrior tribute. That is a huge deal. I mean, when all the rest of them show up for everything, he didn't show up for the Hall of Fame. That's a big deal. So, I mean, what do you think, man?
I think WWE wants to have more gimmicks, especially at least Vince McMahon, because he had Fandango and stuff.
I love Fandango.
I don't think we're going to see nearly as much because of how the contracts are working. Because back in the day, I mean, the gimmick system was you throw up 50 gimmicks and you get the three that stick. And I don't see them signing people anymore to two-month contracts to see if they can have a gimmick that gets over.
Yeah, I agree. But, I mean, they're really sticking with those NXT gimmicks when they, you know, the party hardy or the get hyped. Well, I can't say Sami Zayn.
Mojo Rawley.
I don't like Mojo Rawley either. I think it's an awful gimmick. And the fact that he had that group of people in his, like, a family base in the crowd that was really cheering for him the other week really pissed me off. It did. It made me mad to the fact that someone was actually cheering for him. I was actually pretty upset when that happened. So, Rocky, what do you think of Mojo?
Can't comment on Mojo. Don't know about Mojo, but I can comment
NXT.
Not often enough.
What about who's the?
But I can comment though on the randomness of gimmicks. I mean, if imagine if you're Mean Mark Callis and you're handed the Undertaker gimmick 23 years ago or however long ago it was. I mean, to me, that would seem like death.
No pun intended.
Career death. Right, like the worst gimmick ever.
Oh God, yeah, absolutely. They were talking about that on the Legends of Wrestling. I thought that would be a horrible gimmick. But what made it so good?
I don't know. I don't know if it was the guy or just the time or the addition of Paul Bearer or what. It's beyond me because it still seems absurd unless you actually watch him doing it, and then it's great. So maybe you do just have to try random crap and see what sticks. Maybe there's just no predicting a good gimmick.
You know, Shawn Michaels, the sexy boy, you know, Heartbreak Kid, HBK. Nobody really says Heartbreak Kid anymore. He's not a kid.
Right.
He's a grown-ass man. He's an old man at this point, you know. But that was a gimmick. Legitimately, that was a gimmick.
And then you go the opposite way. You've got, like, Cesaro or Brock, who are just who they are.
Yeah.
You know, they don't have any character other than who they are.
Daniel Bryan, same way. They're just who they are.
Yeah.
You know? And
then Fandango is, you know, pure gimmick. There's no, whoever he is under there, you'd never know because he's never on the mic.
Yeah. Well, I think there's an opposite thing too. And Chevy, you can talk about this. WCW went no gimmicks almost as far as their main roster, but their secondary roster was all gimmick. It was the Disco Inferno and
Sub-Zero. Sub-Zero. I mean, Glacier.
Glacier. Sub-Zero. Talk about that for a minute, because you heard me bitching and complaining about that pay-per-view I was watching the other day.
Well, as a kid, you're just sitting there because you play Mortal Kombat all day behind your parents' back, and then your favorite character comes out on the screen.
I tell you what, they spent more money on that dude's entrance than they did for anybody else ever. That entrance was cool, man. Literally and figuratively cool.
Yeah, so to speak.
I would go literally only.
You think they turned down the AC units in the arena?
Yeah.
Oh, it got cold all of a sudden. Glacier's coming, everybody.
I think they're looking for a new staple of gimmicks. Besides Fandango, I think they're looking for people that, yes, they're gimmicky and weird, but you could also find this type of person if you looked hard enough in the world because they want to be the reality era or whatever.
I'm going to say this one more time. And Rocky, you may back me up on this. As soon as Fandango drops that gimmick and becomes himself, he's going to be over big time. And he's
He was my favorite wrestler in NXT.
Oh my God, he's so awesome. I didn't even watch him in NXT.
You know, his gimmick to me is such an anchor. It's so one-dimensional, it's so shallow, it's so empty. If I were him, I'd just want to throw off the yoke of that gimmick. And I guess they've got this split up of him and what's her name.
So maybe
that's the first step to getting rid of the gimmick. I hope so.
I am almost tempted to believe that they put that gimmick on him because of Summer Rae.
Oh, to get her over?
Yep.
Okay.
To get her over and to get her on that, I guess. To get her on that E! Network.
Yeah. So I feel kind of bad for the guy. I mean, I can't imagine having to go out there every week and get your 5 minutes in the ring or your 3 minutes or whatever with a longer entrance than you have a match and no mic time, so nobody's got any idea what the guy's personality is.
None whatsoever.
He was in NXT with Skip Sheffield, Husky Harris, Seth Rollins, Dean Ambrose, Roman Reigns, Big E Langston, and he was outshining all these guys.
I'm gonna have to go.
Opposite. They bring in all this talent in, and then, you know, they hold him under this blanket.
I see it in him too. You know, I didn't watch NXT back in the day. I just started watching NXT like, you know, 3 or 4 months ago. Okay.
I just got back into it 2 weeks ago.
I see it in him. I see none of my friends see it. All my friends are like, whatever, man. He just dances or whatever. I'm just like, that's not him. I can see that star underneath all that bull crap.
Well, hopefully we'll find out soon. Though, you know, kind of circling back, Big E is so disappointing because people who know him personally or have heard him in other contexts say the guy's funny. He's very entertaining, et cetera, et cetera. And I don't know why, if he's just nervous or what, but every time he gets on the mic on WWE, it's a disaster.
Oh, it's utter disaster.
Let's hope that Fandango does better than that when he finally gets a hold of a mic.
I think he will. I really do think he will. All right. Well, if you guys want to follow Rocky Mountain High or Chevy on Twitter, man, it's at RMTN High, HIGH on Twitter. And Chevy is at AWWIR Chevy, CHEVY on Twitter. So if you guys want to follow him, trust me, Chevy tweets a lot. So he's got a lot of time on his hands, taking care of some kids. Rocky Mountains, he's okay. He's good. He works. So I don't know what Chevy does. He must take care of kids all day. I don't know what he does.
I got kids work in school.
Kids work in school. All right.
Then group me.
Yeah, no shit. You are on there all the freaking time, man. All the time. I can always count on. I'm going to talk to Chevy today. I know where he's at. Where is he? On group me.
I'm the worst parent ever, and I have a boring job.
No, you're a good parent,
I'm
man. I can
up
tell.
And down. You know, I'm on when I can be, but my job comes and goes in busyness. So
yeah,
I'm there.
Mine too, man. Usually I'm on when I'm like watching something, or I just, you know, I take a minute. I'm sitting down at my desk and I'm just like, you know, let me space out for a second. Let me check out what's going on in GroupMe. So So that's them on Twitter. Please follow them. Awesome contributors this week. I appreciate you guys coming on. Maybe they'll be back. Maybe they won't. It's up to them. Segment four, going full circle, as I was talking about earlier. We got a bunch of stuff that's coming around circular. They say the wrestling business ebbs and flows like waves. Right now, we're coming to the top of a wave. We definitely are coming to the top of a wave. But with doing that, we've seen some people come and go. We can talk about Evolution first. So we saw Evolution with Ric Flair, Dave Bautista, Randy Orton, and Triple H. How many? Almost 10 years ago, guys? How many years ago?
Oh, yeah. It's got to be about that.
11. Yeah. I think they debuted in the spring of 2003.
Okay. Yeah. It's almost exactly 10. Almost exactly 11 years. 11 years ago. Do you guys think I don't think we're going to see Flair. Do you guys think we're going to see Flair?
Oh, heavens no.
No.
I wouldn't be surprised if he made a cameo appearance, but he's not going to be like a real member.
Do you guys think they'll pick somebody else up?
I doubt it. I don't think this is going to be the same Evolution, which was like where the I don't think this is going to be like, oh, we're the four best wrestlers in the past, present, and future. Mm-hmm. Blah, 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 blah. I think this is just them being like extremely pissed off and being like, well, we were in a group, may as well call ourselves it again.
The funny thing is they're going with the whole miscommunication, mistiming gimmick where Kane said something about Triple H telling Kane to attack the Shield or something like that, and then the Shield gets all mad and then attacks Triple H. And then last night on Raw, the Randy Orton Batista said Triple H is on his own, and then Randy Orton Batista go out there and they do their match, and then the Shield comes in and beats them up. So now they're pissed enough to go back to Triple H going, okay, we're with you now because we can see that they're not going to leave us alone, so we might as well work together. So it's like a bunch of miscommunication and a bunch of crap. So is Triple H behind this? Or because now I'm thinking with everything I just said, Triple H maybe behind this to get them to follow him or something. I don't know. Maybe I'm thinking too much into this.
You're way too smart to be a WWE writer.
I'm like Chevy. Coherent. Chevy, please help me with this, man.
My thought has been for a long time that eventually all the muscle of the authority will turn on their masters, and every time that starts to happen, it sort of fizzles. But I still feel like sooner or later, you know, the guard dogs have got to turn back on their masters.
Well, Chevy, tell Rocky Mountain about Kane last night, because Kane went full circle last night too, which I think this was dumb in my book. But go ahead, tell
him. They just had like they were like showing the mask. I can't remember watching it really late.
It was
but they were showing.
It was Stephanie was talking to somebody and telling how useless somebody was and how disappointing they were. And all of a sudden, the camera pulls down and it's Kane. And he tries to apologize and she stops him. And then she continues berating him of how crappy he is lately and how he's disappointed them on Daniel Bryan and then disappointed them on the Shield and then disappointed them on the Outlaws and this whole disappointment thing. And then all of a sudden, she gets in his face. She goes, "We need the enforcer. We need where's the old Kane? Where's the one that dominates and destroys? Where's the devil's favorite demon?" And he gets all mad and he starts shaking, and then the camera pans to him picking up the glass off the mask, and he picks up the mask and he holds it for a little while, and then he kind of points it to the camera, and they took way too long to get away from that shot. They held he held the mask there for like it felt like 2 minutes, you know. Chevy, you know what I mean? He held it there for a while. And then
what was the payoff? Which way did he end up going?
No way. He didn't come back.
I know what's happening, but right. I don't know. That's only because I read dirt sheets all the time.
Okay, here you go. Spoiler alert. If you don't want to listen to Chevy tell us what happens with Kane, then fast forward or hit pause and wait till Friday. What you got, Chevy?
It's going to be longer than Friday, but the reports are saying that because they're completely out of people for Daniel Bryan to face at Extreme Rules, it's going to be Kane DeBry for the title.
I thought that was going to happen.
Which is a joke.
That is a joke. You know, that's like the old age Outlaws. I mean, here's another guy who, at least for his age, Kane can work, you know, and is credible, but come on.
I don't want that either. I don't. I would much rather see Triple H and him go at it in like a steel cage or something, or him and Randy. No, maybe not him and Randy. I definitely don't want to see him and Batista. That's what I mean. Like, who do you put him against? Him Cesaro. And Cesaro. Oh, yeah. Him and Cesaro would be awesome.
Triple H, Hell in a Cell.
That would be good, too.
Yeah, that would be good. Now, it'll be interesting, though. If I'm Triple H, do I want to do that? Do I want to have to stay in shape and take all the bumps and all that? Or
he's in amazing shape right now, too.
He really is. And this has got to be his last hurrah in the ring. So if you've gone to all the trouble to get into shape, maybe you do it. And maybe his ego wants him to be on one last pay-per-view before he goes out.
Well, here's the thing. What if they put Daniel Bryan versus Kane, and then Triple H comes out towards the end of the match, wins the title, and then Randy and Batista turn on him? And then then they do a fatal four-way at what's the next pay-per-view after Extreme Rules?
Payback.
And then at Payback, it's a fatal four-way, and then Brian wins a title again. Yeah, I know. It's too short of a run for Brian.
Well, the other big pay-per-view of the year, in my mind, is SummerSlam.
Yeah, absolutely.
So whatever the big payoff's going to be, if it's Cesaro, whatever it is, it'll probably pay off then.
I can guarantee you it's going to be Daniel Bryan versus Brock at SummerSlam. I can almost guarantee that.
Yeah, you know, that's interesting because Brock, in fact, my call on the Week in Review mentions this. Brock being a big badass part-timer has now taken the streak from the big badass part-timer, right? But
yeah.
How part-time is he going to be? Is he two pay-per-views a year or three or one?
Well,
he's done 7 in 2 years, and I don't think he'll do less than 3 in the next year.
I don't think he will either.
But I don't think they're going to strap him.
I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do with him. They're definitely going to keep him. I mean, Heyman made it very clear on the Austin podcast that he was coming back. He made it very clear that Brock was coming back. And Stone Cold wanted him to come back.
And the beauty of the Undertaker role is you don't need a strap for that role.
Yeah, but so you're saying because Brock won the streak, Brock now has the right to start doing the streak.
Basically, or be in a role where you just wrestle a couple of pay-per-views a year. Your credibility doesn't depend on a belt at all. In fact, it's probably better if you're not involved in the title hunt at all. You're just this big monster, this big troll under the bridge that shows up every once in a while.
I don't know, man. I just don't know. I don't know what they're going to do with Brock. I just don't know. I don't know what their whole point was. Yeah. And they're saying Taker's going to keep going. Like, why?
Yeah, I don't believe that for a second.
No, literally, they're all talking about it. Everyone is talking about it. Everyone's saying, Taker's 21-0 at WrestleMania week. I guess we'll see what happens. Taker's 21-0 at WrestleMania. They keep talking about it on commentary, right? Right, Chevy?
Yeah, kind of.
I mean, they're not alluding to the fact that he's retiring. They didn't allude to that at all. Chevy, do you watch the post and pre-show?
No.
Okay, that's where I'm pretty sure that's where they talk about it the most, is that the fact that he's not retired, so they're just going to keep going. I mean, because I really do think they want that Sting match, and it's going to be horrible. Oh, it's going to be so bad.
Yeah, I think that ship has sailed.
Have you heard the match?
He just signed. He's going to be on WWE TV today, I think I saw on Twitter.
I've been pitching it. If Sting wrestles one match, it should be Triple H Sting.
Why is that?
Because the only good match that Sting's had in the last 3 years were all like no DQ type matches, and that's Triple H's favorite. But I think you could also have a great year long build where starting at like maybe SummerSlam, every time Triple H is going to interfere or cheat, the lights go black and Sting makes the save.
Oh, that's not bad.
And then, like, say maybe at Royal Rumble, Triple H's music hit and he walks out, and then Sting comes out behind him, and then all of a sudden, like, four guys come out behind Sting, and you realize Triple H laid a trap.
Wow, Chevy's devious.
That's the build I would have.
Chevy's
got the storylines worked out.
He does, man. He's got it all planned. All right, enough fantasy land. last one. We talked about Kane going full circle. Last one going full circle is the Shield. Shield came out. I never saw the first Shield, guys. So explain to me what happened with the first Shield. Rocky, explain to me how they came. I know they came from NXT. I didn't watch it back then. Tell me how they came out.
So their gimmick has always been, in my view, in fact, this was my very first call to the Week in Review, is their gimmick has been the rogue cops. They're actually, I'm convinced of this. They're modeled after a television show that ran about 10 years ago called The Shield that mm-hmm. was a dramatization of some real-life LAPD who went into business for themselves and would beat the shit out of people and kill people even.
Wow.
So, you know, here's these abusive cops in uniform. Well, what do the guys wear, right? The boots and the tactical vests and yeah. all that. And they claim to be standing for justice, but they're basically the muscle of the authority, right? So I don't know. They have a real independent streak, and I can't see them ever going really babyface. I mean, at best, they'd be tweeners.
Go ahead.
I think for the group, I don't know if this the baby face was the right time, because they're going to have like a really bad split later where one of them turned teal. But and I think it would have been better to save this baby face for 3 or 4 years down the road, where if like two of them are like kind of hit the mid card ceiling and they can't get any higher, then you write the guys off TV for a month, and then all of a sudden the Shield music hits at a pay-per-view. And I think that would have been a much louder baby face pop. But at the same time, I feel like Roman Reigns needs to be in the Shield.
Yeah, you and I talked about that the other night, that you're not convinced Roman's a main event guy yet.
I haven't seen anything that makes me believe he could wrestle a 15-minute match by himself.
And I kept telling you that we haven't seen him wrestle a 15-minute match by himself yet, so how do you know? Anyway, so their motto has always been the Hounds of Justice, right? Well, the entire time that I've watched them, I've never seen any justice done by them. I've always seen injustice done by them. They've always worked for the corporate or the alliance or whatever authority, whatever you want to call them.
Exactly. That's the whole gimmick, right?
Yeah. I mean,
it's very much in line with Vince is always very topical with what's going on socially. And about 5 years ago, right, there was the Occupy movement and yep. all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And here's the bad guy cops, right, who are claiming to be the good guys, but they're clearly not.
Yeah, and you're right. He does add a lot. He does take that. Like, he does take a lot of that stuff that's either going on or has been going on for a little while and add it in there, and it does make it interesting. And now I feel like I'm on the Shield side because they're on my side now. You know, they're on the injustice side. Actually, for real, they're actually the Hounds of Injustice or the Hounds of Justice, and I like them now. And I was one that was saying, break them up. I want to see Seth Rollins. I want to see Seth Rollins go at it, man. I want to see him. I never got a chance to see him on NXT. I want to see him go. I want to see Dean Ambrose go instead of doing that flail punchy thingy he's been doing lately that's really horrible.
Yeah, the drunken sailor.
I don't know what that is. What is that? I don't know what that is. It's like a running girl punch or something. I don't know what they told him, but I don't know. And then, like Chevy said, Roman Reigns doing like 3 or 4 moves and being the man of the man. I mean, granted, he is a huge dude, but and he does a wicked spear, and I really enjoy his spear. I haven't seen a spear like that. Goldberg did a good spear, but not as good as I've never seen a good spear like that. He does a great spear.
Yeah, Edge specialized in a great spear, and he wasn't the big muscle head like that.
Yeah, I never liked Edge's spear. I really enjoy Roman's spear. I really do. It's really good. The only Edge spear I liked was when he jumped off the when he jumped off the ladder and hit Jeff Hardy hanging in the air. That was a spear.
Oh, how great was that?
It's a great spear.
Never rewatch it. Just picture it in your mind.
Yeah, I know. I've rewatched it like 60 times.
The more it starts to fall apart when you rewatch it.
It does. It does. It does. All those matches start because you realize how much setup they have to do and when they're waiting and when they're, you know, waiting to set something up or setting something up, or you can catch something out of the corner, and you know, Edge and Christian over here setting something up while Jeff and the Dudleys are fighting over here to distract everybody. And it's to me, it's just like that Bray Wyatt versus the Shield match. You could definitely tell it was super choreographed, but it was still good because it was exciting and because it was so well timed. If one person was off step just by a foot, they would have been screwed. Nothing would have worked because everyone had to be in the right place at the right time. And it just, to me, that shows how dedicated they are to their craft. And that I get respect in. And watching those guys on those ladder matches, really, no matter how much you have to set up and how much you have to distract over here by action and set up over here, I still enjoy those matches. It doesn't matter. That's still a big bump to hit, especially on your knees.
Yeah, those ladder matches, I'll tell you, the potential for injury just seems so high there. You know, they finally
Joey
got
Styles.
Rid of the chair shots to the head, but I got to believe sooner or later the ladders are going away.
Yeah, Joey Styles. Look at Joey Styles.
Yeah, and how about Cornette, right? blew out his knee.
Yeah, fell off that scaffolding and blew out both knees. Yeah, Joey Styles ripped his face open. They thought he'd be all right, man. He popped that ladder in his face. Oh, man, I still remember that in my head. Blood everywhere. That guy was bleeding so much. Holy moly, that guy was bleeding. And his face was all puffed up, and he was fucked up.
Oh, and talk about gruesome. I'll tell you, New Jack gives an interview about some big fall he took in ECW, and oh, my God, I mean, just the extent of that.
Was it the one through the like, 15 tables or something, or just a
No, a this was just a big drop off the stage. It was, like, 40 feet or something. It was some
Holy shit.
Tremendous drop, and he fractured his skull and just all kinds of terrible injuries.
It's like Shane McMahon jumping off the Titantron. Oh, I still remember that forever. I'll remember that shit forever. Oh, man, I'll remember that forever. Anyway, last one up. Anything you guys want to talk about? I know we've been talking about whatever. I want to talk about Paige. I really enjoyed the last match that she had on Raw. I like to talk about it earlier. Alicia Fox was a great partner for her to really debut on Raw. Yes, granted, I don't like the Paige Turner, but I love that new submission move she has. It's a modified Scorpion Deathlock, I think everyone's been saying.
Yeah, go ahead, Chevy.
I was just going to say, I got to go.
Oh, yeah. Go ahead, Chevy. Thanks, man. I appreciate you. Right. If you guys want to follow Chevy, man, it's AWWIR Chevy on Twitter, man. I appreciate it, Chevy.
All right. Thanks. Have a good night.
You too, man. Take care of your kids.
Good night, Chevy.
What do you think, Rocky?
I'm delighted to see Paige as well. You know, to me, it's like they have ADD around the Divas division. You know, they get rid of all the ones who can wrestle, and then they go with the lingerie models, and then they're back sort of to wrestlers, and it just seems to whipsaw back and forth so much. But they have such a weak roster now that I'm glad to see Paige come up.
And Alicia's back, and who's the other one that came back?
I saw Layla on and off for a while.
Yeah, Layla. That's who came back. Layla. I lost track of all those divas. Ever since Trish and Lita left, I just stopped caring. And then I saw Paige and Emma and who's the... God, I always forget her name. Who's the really nice girl on NXT? Oh, man.
Natty Neidhart?
No. I forgot her name. Damn it, I forgot her name.
Oh, on NXT. I don't know.
Yeah, she's got the... She gives out the hair bands at the beginning of her walk-in.
I've seen her. I can't think who it is.
I'm gonna regret not knowing her name.
Anyway, I would really like to see them build up with some girls who can really wrestle, and it, you know, maybe this is a step in the right direction, but it could all change next week, right?
It could.
It just
seems
so schizoid.
Yeah, and from what I understand is that Alicia Fox was supposed to get the title on Monday Night Raw. She was supposed to earn it, but she tapped out with the wrong hand. At WrestleMania, she tapped out with one hand on AJ, and AJ was supposed to tap her out with the other hand.
I know AJ was on her back and was tapping her hand.
Yes, and that was supposed to. That's why the camera was facing that, but the referee got the other one that was tapped. So it ruined the gimmick, and that's why evidently they called up Paige, and because they had nowhere to go, there was no fight there. So they had nowhere to go, so they just went ahead and called up Paige and gave it to her because, I'll be honest with you, because of Twitter, I really do believe it was because of Twitter.
Well, Paige really had that deer in the headlights look.
Oh, God,
she got called up in her first match, she wins the title, and nobody looked more surprised than her.
Oh, such a good moment. Oh, man, I'm such a mark.
Yeah, me too. I just hope she can handle it. You know, that's a very big jump, and I'm sure was unexpected.
She's only 21.
And she's really young, and you just hope she can handle it. We'll see.
I think she'll be okay. She seems like she doesn't seem like one of those crazy girls that doesn't have her head screwed on right or whatever. I think they gave it to the right girl for once. She's a true wrestler. You know, she's not a diva. She's not a singer. She doesn't pretend to be anything but a wrestler. So I think she's got her head on straight. I hope so, at least.
Well, I just hope somebody, anybody, wrestles Oksana for a loser leaves town forever match, because I cannot for the life of me figure out why Oksana is on the payroll, especially after injuring Naomi. You know, you look at how she did that and you think, what was the goal there?
I don't know.
What was the move you were trying for that would be safe?
I know.
There just isn't one.
I know. You just lean down with your knee and pop somebody in the head. I mean, what was she trying to do?
Right in the eye.
I know.
Yeah, there's no safe way to do that.
Every time those divas come out and it's not a Paige or an AJ or a Natty, I worry about those girls. I really do.
Yeah, yeah.
Every time I'm like, oh, we're about to see an accident. You ready, mm-hmm. guys? We're about to see somebody get hurt. You ready? So why aren't you watching NXT anymore?
I've only ever watched it a couple of times. I don't know. I just kind of never got in the habit, I guess. But the first really full end-to-end one I watched was the spectacular one where you had Cesaro and...
You watched Arrival, didn't you?
Yeah, Arrival, yeah. I mean, so what good. A show. My God, that was the best WWE show I'd seen in months.
That was so good.
And I just never kind of got back in the habit. And I've got the network now. I mean, it's stupid that I'm not watching it, but I should, especially since I missed Raw. That'd be a good thing to watch.
I try to watch it every week. I don't get to it every week because normally I'm doing a close on Thursday, so it's a little late for me. And then I usually have to get up and go into work the next morning. So for me, it's a little late on that. I usually get it during the weekend at some point. So I'm a little behind always on it. But I do really enjoy it. I enjoy seeing those guys. Now, there's a lot of people on there that I don't enjoy yet. I don't like the party guy. I keep forgetting his name. Adam Rose. I do not like Adam Rose. I don't think he's a good wrestler. I'm for the life of me, I cannot understand why they haven't brought up Sami Zayn. I do not understand.
Yeah, Zayn was remarkable, especially with Cesaro.
Oh, can you imagine him and Ziggler?
Oh, yeah.
Holy crap, they would be able to, they would shock people. If they brought Sami Zayn up and just have Sami Zayn and Cesaro go at it, just for one time, just redo that whole match, oh my God. Those people would know his name forever. They would.
Yeah, it's hard to figure that you've still got guys like Kali on the roster. And granted, Kali's been pushed down to NXT now. But up until very recently, you had Kali on the roster, getting on TV every once in a while, and guys like him not.
Yeah.
It's just hard to figure.
It's horrible. I can't. I just don't get it. I just don't get it sometimes. But I do like the fact that they've pushed a bunch of people down to NXT and brought a bunch of people up. I like that.
Yeah, and they have so many good people in that company, and I really like the direction they're taking. I was thinking about this the other day, kind of getting back to Triple H, and do you want to spend the time and effort to get in ring shape and all that stuff? You think of the duties these people must have at the top of that company.
And Triple H.
Yeah, I mean, it's enough just to be in training and be a wrestler, but all the business aspects and so many of them, and the company is growing like an octopus. It's becoming the General Electric of wrestling, you know, with tentacles in every business. And it just can't imagine managing something like that and being an on-camera performer in any capacity, but especially wrestling where you got to get your body in shape and everything. I don't know how they do it, but my hat's off to them that they're doing it.
Yeah, and I mean, what, like a month and a half ago or 2 months ago, Triple H was not looking so good. He had obviously been on the road for a while. He hadn't worked out a lot. Stephanie was the same. And then all of a sudden they both start working out a lot. They start eating right. They start, you know, just
not showing up at every TV.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which I think Triple H shows up at every, I think he's in gorilla position every TV show.
Might be. I'll tell you, the big mystery to me of WrestleMania 30 is no Vince. I can't believe it. I mean, this is such a milestone for this is like the capstone of his career, especially with the launch of the network and everything. For him not to be on TV is just amazing.
Have you not seen the Triple H DVD?
No, okay. I have not.
Triple H has pretty much taken over Vince's position.
Okay.
Triple H.
So they've really passed the baton then?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's why that entire card, almost everybody flipped hands except for John Cena.
Yeah.
Everyone passed the torch on except for John Cena. Undertaker passed the torch on.
Yeah.
Now, granted, Randy Orton will be around for a while, but Randy Orton sort of, I guess Triple H sort of passed the torch on to, I mean, everyone that was a little bit older, a little bit from the old school, passed the torch on except for John Cena.
Now, the granted, tag team as well.
Yeah. The tag team as well. I mean, I just, I don't, John irritates me sometimes. I don't see, and you know it's his call too. I mean, you know it is. You know it's his call.
Yeah, he's to me, he's in a special role too, like The Undertaker was, with all his PR kind of out of the ring stuff and the kiddie appeal and everything. He's in a really unique spot that no one is really equipped to take over at this time. Eventually, I could see maybe Daniel Bryan getting there, but he's almost an ambassador kind of a role that I just can't imagine anyone else filling.
I do like the fact that he gets in the middle of that ring. Yeah, this is the one thing I do like lately with him. The fact that he gets in the middle of that ring and he plainly states, if you want to be at the top of this company, you have to go through me. That is a angle that they need to address.
Yeah, and that's great, as opposed to the guys who put themselves in that position but won't tell you.
Yeah, exactly. Or the guys that automatically assume that the champion is the face of the company, which we clearly know the champion is not the face of the company.
Right, right, for sure.
Yeah, Cena is the face of that company. Absolutely. He sells merchandise. He makes money.
Yeah.
End of story.
Yeah, and nothing is close to that. And if Cena, you know, God forbid, had a heart attack like Warrior or something, I mean, there's just nobody who could step into that role.
No. I mean, I think a lot of people know who Daniel Bryan is. I don't think a lot of people know who, compared to Cena, it's like nobody. Everyone. I was watching Top Gear. I was watching Top Gear the other day because I'm a huge Top Gear, European version Top Gear. And I was watching Top Gear, and they were in Bulgaria. They were in Bulgaria doing some type of triple car, supercar rally or something like that. I don't know. They were visiting Bulgaria and trying to find this wicked, awesome street or road or something. They were in Bulgaria, and they were in the middle of freaking nowhere. And I'm not kidding. Literally in the middle of nowhere. Surrounded by so-called gypsies. Gypsies. And somebody writes John Cena in dust on the back of their car. I'm not kidding.
That's a worldwide reach.
That's what I'm saying. This guy he's everywhere. He is literally everywhere. And he's right.
There's nothing like, I mean, the only thing that remotely compared to it was The Undertaker in terms of this unique spot that's a, I don't know, very high visibility spot, but very different than your average people chasing a title.
No, he... And I dare to say this, and don't get me wrong, Vince has stated it very clear that Stone Cold sold a lot more t-shirts than John Cena ever did.
Mm-hmm.
John Cena is Hulk Hogan.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah, talk story. About a torch passing. Yeah, that's who he is.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, God, yes. Oh, yeah. He, granted, don't get me wrong, Rock made a lot of money in cinema, but the kid is not riding the Rock on the back of his car in Bulgaria. The kid is riding John Cena.
Right. Right.
Or Cena.
You know, talking about the smaller, obscure overseas markets, I'm intrigued as the WWE expands, gets financially stronger, gets more in a mindset of, gee, we can take on almost any area of business. I'm intrigued with the idea of expanding into Asia and India.
You listened to the John Cena interview with Stone Cold, didn't you?
No, I'm trying to think. I guess I did, but it must have been a while ago because I don't really remember it.
Yeah, it was a while ago. It was like 3 weeks ago, maybe 4 weeks ago, maybe about a month and a half ago. He was prepping for something. He was at the... Oh, it was the network. It was the debut of the network.
Okay.
So the announcement of the network, and that's where Stone Cold met him at, and he did an interview with him, and Cena was taking Chinese...
Oh, I do
courses.
Remember. They were in L.A.
Yep.
Yeah. And,
no, Las Vegas.
Or Vegas, okay, yeah. Yep. And right, because in L.A. he caught up with Big Show, right? Okay,
anyway,
I do remember that, and he was taking Chinese, and I thought, you got to hand it to the guy. I mean, he is such a company man.
Yeah.
But, yeah, these markets are so big, and there's so much money emerging over there. I mean, how can you just ignore that and not somehow expand over there? I have no idea where you even start with. India might be easier because we've already got some Indian stars, but
I can never really reveal a company that I work for, but yeah, we're expanding over there because it's where it is right now.
That's where the money is. Where the growth is.
Yeah, you can't fight it. You got to go. Yeah. You got to go where the money is. And it's
an opportunity. I mean, here's a billion people who never had any money before, and now they do. Okay, great. That's a billion more customers.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's figure out what they want.
This is my thing, too, okay? If we're at, you know, 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago, we were at WrestleMania, 2 weeks ago, WrestleMania time, we were at 657,000, 687,000 subscribers to WWE Network, okay? Yeah. So in 2 months, we're going to 1 million. I have no doubt we'll get 1 million. I have no doubt that they're going to reach 1 million in the United States, okay? I have no doubt in my mind.
Oh,
no,
yeah.
They may even reach 1.5 by the end of the year. They're ahead of their projections. Wall Street thinks they're not, but they are.
At minimum, you should get everybody who would normally buy their pay-per-views.
Yeah, yeah. As soon as that second pay-per-view comes, there's going to be a lot more people signing up for that because they're going to be like,
yeah, I got to believe it. I want to watch like SummerSlam, this. Whatever. I mean,
yeah. You know, I don't
anybody
mind,
who would normally pay $65 or something, you got to believe is just going to get the network instead.
Yeah, I mean, you got to think that, you know, I really don't mind paying for WrestleMania. You know, WrestleMania is always good. I can guarantee I get my money's worth of WrestleMania, and you always do. You know, you right. never let you down. No matter the worst WrestleManias out there, never let you down. Always worth the money. But Extreme Rules, there's been a couple bad Extreme Rules somewhere in there. And
oh, look at the run of pay-per-views we had leading up to WrestleMania.
Yeah.
For like 6 months. Yeah. They all sucked to one degree or another.
Yeah, exactly.
So, I mean, it's been so unreliable, especially leading into the network. You would have thought they would have been putting their best foot forward. I was so pleasantly surprised with WrestleMania that it was so great. I just thought it was fantastic.
I think it may have been part of their plan. No,
yeah,
honestly,
to make it look that much better than their usual crap.
I think so. I don't. I really think everyone, including the creative team and everybody, was really concentrated on getting that network up and going and working on the Scooby-Doo and working on this and working on that and working on all this content that they just let creative slip. I really do believe that.
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, how can you possibly keep your focus?
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
well, looking at their stock price, it's really tanked. It'll be interesting to see what it does going forward. But it had such a run
over the last couple
of years. It peaked at 31, 31 and a half on March 20th. And now it's down about a third from that. It's down around
$20.
So it would have to make a 50% gain just to get back to that.
Yeah, I have a feeling it'll go back up once they announce the next round of subscriptions.
Yeah, and
when they hit that million mark, it'll go back up.
Yeah, and of course, you know, it was pumped up as Dan mentioned by unrealistic expectations, as these things always are.
Exactly, but I mean, I talked about it last week with Eric and Exodus. I mean, I did not have a problem with my frickin' WrestleMania. I felt like I was stealing it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'll tell you, my only bitch is actually, it was working great, and the way I view it on television is through Chromecast.
Oh, wow, okay.
And the way Chromecast works is you can, certain applications will talk to it directly, and others you just, you can share your desktop or whatever.
Okay.
Except Chrome is broken now with the network, and it won't cast the network. It won't display the WWE network at all on Chrome now, even on your PC.
Let me guess, it did an update or something?
Yeah, just in time for WrestleMania. So who knows what happened. I'm sure they'll get it fixed.
Yeah, I'm sure they will.
But as it was, it didn't affect me anyway. But I can imagine, it's just teething problems, right? They'll get it sorted
when
out.
It's funny, too, because I don't have digital. Well, I mean, technically I have digital cable, but I don't have a high definition box. I only get regular cable into my TV.
Okay.
So when I watch Raw, it's not HD. It's just regular cable.
Right. Because
I just refuse to pay that much money for cable. I think it's stupid. I'd rather pay for my Hulu, my WWE Network, and the rest of the stuff. So when I flip over to the pre and post show that I watch, it's like freaking night and day.
Yeah.
I flip over and I'm like, oh shit, I forgot. This is in HD.
Well, and you can see Raw in HD too, just not immediately.
look how good this looks.
Yeah, it's remarkable. I'll tell you what'll make you sick. So I work in the telecom industry, and we have some demos now of what they call 4K and even 8K TV.
Oh yeah.
And boy, oh boy, it's you take a look at that and you never want to go back.
Is it that big of a difference?
It really is. I was skeptical at going in. I thought, ah, HD is so good. You know, what marginal improvement is it going to be? A lot. it's great. The problem is the world isn't ready for it yet to deliver that much data. We have no disks for it. We have not enough cable plant capacity. We're away.
It's the same thing with Blu-ray. I didn't really think Blu-ray was that big of a deal. And holy crap, is it better?
Yeah, holy really. I mean,
crap,
it's remarkable.
Yeah. Going back to what I was talking about with the network, I mean, we get 1.5 within the next, you know, 3 months or whatever, which we probably will. 4 months or whatever. On the network, and then what happens is that when at the end of the year, when they expand to Europe and Canada, especially Canada, and then Europe and South America and all these other places, holy crap!
I mean, just the former British Empire, all those countries.
Oh my God! It's gonna go gangbusters.
Yeah, absolutely.
We're talking 7 to 10 million people watching this network.
I already know personally of two people who live outside the United States and are paying for a VPN service so they can watch the network.
Holy shit.
There's that much demand. And it's still a good deal. I mean, so you got to pay an extra $5 for the VPN. Mm. Okay.
And this is where they all disagreed with me that they don't think it's going to work outside the United States. And I'm like, you guys are crazy. You guys have some of their biggest crowds are in Europe.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, they go that raw crowd was a European crowd.
Yeah, and Western Europe has, you know, approximately the same population as the United States, and I got to believe that there's just a huge appetite over there, beyond the English speaking.
Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, it's going to be so big, and I mean, there's no doubt in my mind it's not going to succeed. I mean, they're just going to. It's already done. To me, it's already succeeded. You stamped it. You stamped it. It's already done.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just
no. They've got a really good road in front of them here, and I have a lot of confidence in Triple H and Stephanie at the minute.
I do too.
Things can change, but I'm really impressed with what they've done in the last couple of years.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, they say a lot of bumpy roads going there, but I think they set everybody up for a good year. I really do. I believe they're going in the right direction, and I think they started booking ahead of now instead of behind or like day of.
Well, yeah, and it'll be interesting too. Going back to Vince kind of passing the torch, one thing I've heard a lot of the root of many of their creative problems is that Vince will tear up the script at the last moment and force this big scramble. Fire drill to come up with a new script.
Stupid.
Yeah, and if you can put the clamp on that and allow coherent storylines going forward and not have to worry that someone's going to jerk the rug out every week at the 11th hour, that's got to be good.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, much better. All right. Well, we're going to end right there, guys. Again, thank you for listening to us this week. Hope you enjoyed it. That was Rocky Mountain High and Devil Vamp. You can follow Rocky Mountain High, RMTN, high as in get high, H-I-G-H. Follow me on Twitter at dsjnp.com. One update, the website is almost done. You're going to be able to listen to episodes on there, and you're going to be able to follow us, Facebook us, email us, talk to us, comment on what you see, having blog posts, all the other geek news, any other podcast that we do, you'll be able to see it on dsjnp.com. It's coming real soon. I got most of it built, still looking for a couple more things to add to it, but most of it is done. So that is coming soon. I appreciate it. Thank you guys for listening, and have a wonderful week.
What the rock is cooking, and that's the bottom line.